Good Saturday morning. You're listening to High School Sports Saturday right here on 104.5 The Zone. Glad you're with us. Beautiful, beautiful Saturday morning out there today. Great weather last night. I prefer the warmer weather, but I know most of you think that's football weather and like that better. So I'm glad everybody got their fall, a little bit cooler weather last night. It was a beautiful night for high school football and lots of great games this weekend. Something out there you think we need to know about, 615-737-1045. If you're on Twitter, give us a follow, at Tate Matthews. That way you'll know who the guests are going to be each and every Saturday morning ahead of time. The lineup, the news, brought to you by the Diner Nashville. Then we're going to get to our guest, Coach Kevin Creasy, Oakland Patriots. Huge win Thursday night against Lipscomb Academy. Brian Coleman, Summit Spartans, big win last night against Beach. Big game next week. And then we're going to finish up in the villain zone with Tom Kreger of the Tennessean, brought to you by Warner's Athletic. All right, the news brought to you by the Diner Nashville. Headed downtown for college football this weekend. NFL next Saturday, NFL tomorrow, or both. Get to the corner of 3rd and Demumbrium. You'll see the six-story building with the balconies on each floor, and you'll know you're in the right place. Walk in, black and white checkerboard tile floor, stunning pastry case to the right. Looks like an old-school diner. You're in the right place. Coffee, latte, espresso, milkshakes. They've got lemon squares, muffins. But if you want something heavier, the California breakfast sandwich is the go-to. Second floor, sports bar theme space. Double-sided wall of TVs hang over the bar. The windows will be open today. Great breeze in there. If the game's on, it'll be on one of those. Fourth and fifth, stunning fine dining spaces. Want to be served by a waiter or waitress? These are the floors for you. Sixth floor, seafood floor. Oysters, sushi, best Rockefeller anywhere downtown. Went down with the judge earlier this week, had lunch, had me some Rockefeller and a Nashville sushi roll. It did not disappoint, the Diner in Nashville. All right, we'll start with the top 10 mid-state large school rankings. Number one, Oakland defeats number two, Lipscomb, 29-21 on Thursday night. Capacity crowd, great game. Talk to Coach Creasy next. Jordan James, 21 carries, 200 yards, 2 touchdowns. Number three, Summit defeats Beach, 39-7. Brady Pierce, 3 receptions, 108 yards, 3 touchdowns. Number four, Christ Presbyterian Academy defeats Cane Ridge, 42-10. The Sheriff, Cade Law, 12-for-13, 243 yards with 3 touchdowns. 6 carries, 67 yards, and a touchdown. Ryan Gregory from his safety position took his second interception back for a touchdown on the season. Number five, Riverdale, 17, Smyrna, 3, Seed Coleman, 4 receptions, 98 yards, 2 touchdowns. Tullahoma, most will call this a huge upset. It's an upset. I don't call it a huge upset, but what a great game. Tullahoma defeats Pearl Cone, 24-21. Caden Bradford, offensive tackle and defensive end. JT Taylor, center and defensive end. And Logan Crouch, offensive tackle and defensive tackle. They lead the way to the victory, dominated the line of scrimmage. Both of those guys played about 95% of the snaps on both sides of the ball, and that is where the game was won. Huge win for Tullahoma. Number seven, Innsworth gets a 1-0 COVID win over St. Benedict. Number eight, JP2. 59, Battleground Academy, 35, Elijah Robb, 22 carries, 182 yards, 3 touchdowns on the night. Number nine, Ravenwood defeats Hendersonville, 35-28 in a shootout. Chris Parsons, 11-for-15, 234 yards passing with 3 touchdowns, 12 carries and 111 yards, 1 touchdown rushing for the Raptors. Torin Baker, 25 carries, 240 yards and 2 touchdowns in the losing effort for the Commandos. Number 10, Mount Juliet, 14, Wilson Central, 7. Amarion Workings, 2 total touchdowns. One of those, 99-yard kickoff return for the Bears. Brentwood, 31, Hillsboro, 7. Davis White, 22-for-33, 208 yards, 4 touchdowns. All 4 of those touchdowns went to Aaron Walton on 7 receptions and 96 yards for the Bruins. Montgomery Bell Academy, 21. Brentwood Academy, 0. The Big Red gets the win. Coach Paul Uverard, Huge win. Rhett Hayes, 23 carries, 203 yards, one touchdown. The Big Red defense held Brentwood Academy to 57 rushing yards on the night. Fairview, 33. White House Heritage, 14. Layden Grant, 20 carries, 227 yards, two touchdowns, and he tallied 15 tackles from his defensive position. Rockville, 33. Nolensville, 15. Robbie Daniel, 11 carries, 126 yards, two touchdowns for the Rockets. Upperman, 16. Watertown, 8. Ty Dutchess, 6 for 11 passing, 72 yards, and one rushing touchdown. Centennial, 41. Dixon County, 7. Battle of the Cougars. Tanner Lee, 16 carries, 124 yards. Stratford, 14. Hunters Lane, 12. Mitchell Coward, 4 carries, 151 yards, and two touchdowns for the Spartans. Franklin, Coach Alex Melton gets his first win as a head coach, first win as the head coach of the Franklin Admirals. They defeat McGavick 28-12. Bryce Sparks, 15 carries, 151 yards, two touchdowns. Gallatin, 28. Cookeville, 12. Caden Cardoza, 8 tackles, 3 of those for sacks for the Green Wave. Blackman, 59. 80 at Antioch, 8. Justin Brown, 4 receptions, 111 yards. Two touchdowns. Siegel, 42, Warren County, 12. Corey Sims, 20 carries, 203 yards, and three touchdowns on the night for the Stars. Moore County, 26. Wayne County, 13. Dawson White, 2 total touchdowns on the night. Green Hill, 56. White County, 27. Caleb Carver, 5 touchdowns, 3 reception, 1 rushing, 1 kickoff return, and I'm pretty sure he only had 5 total touches. Every time he touched the ball, he took it to the house. DCA fell to Silverdale 28-48 for their first loss of the year. That one was a surprise. Silverdale has obviously gotten better in the last 2 years. Cascade, 33. Community, 14. Drake Hodge, 4 for 4 extra points. 1 for 1 field goal, which was a 40-yarder. Little kicker love for the champions. Father Ryan, 38. Bowling Green, 14. Bryshawn Jackson, 15 carries, 151 yards, and 3 touchdowns for the Irish. Overton, 35, Northwest, 7. Ryder Hagen, 10 for 12 passing, 191 yards, 3 touchdowns for the Bobcats. Lebanon, 42, Lincoln County, 13. Anthony Crowell, 1 receiving touchdown, 1 punt return for a touchdown, and he tallied an interception on defense for the Blue Devils. Station Camp, 35, West Creek, 7. Luke Dickens, 100-plus rushing yards and 3 touchdowns on the night. Don't look now. The Bison are 5-0. Independence, 40. East Nashville, 18. Jack Rummel, 9 receptions, 272 yards, 2 touchdowns on the night. Springfield, 14. Rossview, 7. Shamarion Woodward, 15 tackles on the night for the Yellow Jackets. Monterey, 48. The Tennessee Heat, 24. Mason Bowman, 6 carries, 159 yards, 2 touchdowns. That puts Mason over 1,000 yards last night for the season for Monterey. Nashville Christian School defeats Davidson 42-27. Josh Strickland, 30 carries, 289 yards, 5 touchdowns for the Eagles. Trousdale County, 34. Smith County, 16. Bryson Claiborne, 8 carries, 155 yards, and 4 touchdowns on the night for the Yellow Jackets. Gordonsville defeated Colefield 21-0 last night in East Tennessee. They are 6-0. The October 8th game at Trousdale County between Gordonsville and Trousdale is going to be a great one. That's the news brought to you by the Diner Nashville. We'll be right back with Coach Kevin Creasy, Oakland Patriot football, right here on High School Sports Saturday, 104.5 The Zone. Welcome back to High School Sports Saturday. Are you living with ants and pests? You don't have to. You can nix them with Terminix, and you can do that by starting off with their pest control plan for only $99. For about $1 a day, you can take care of your pest. You can do that with your termites as well while they're out there. Go ahead and get that termite inspection scheduled. If you don't need any work for the termites, you're out nothing. If you do, you could have just saved yourself anywhere from $8,000 to $10,000, which is what some of the damages can total once it gets away from you. If you can hear this show, you're in the service area of the Cool Springs office. Robert Boyer and the crew, I know them. Attention to detail is their number one deal. You can tell by the way they park their cars, and they are big, big supporters of high school athletics in Middle Tennessee. So any of those plans you need scheduled or any of those services, go to 877-TERMINIX and give them a call. Not in my house. We got Coach Kevin Creasy, Oakland Patriot football on the line. Coach Creasy, good morning.
Good morning, Jake.
Appreciate you joining you, man. I mean, appreciate you joining us, man. One cool thing about playing on Thursday night, Saturday morning, I'm assuming you're a little more rested than you normally are.
That's right. Absolutely. Thursday night made it a little tough. One less day to prepare, but Friday was a little easier on us than usual.
Well, let's talk about it. Thursday night, number one in the Mid-State, Oakland hosts number two in the Mid-State, Lipscomb Academy. A lot of build up to it, a lot of press about it. You know, obviously the result was what you were looking for, a 29-21 victory for the Patriots. But I don't think there was anyone in that stadium Thursday night that did not believe that that game lived up to the hype. What a great atmosphere.
It was. It was filled on both sides. You know, the stands were packed and standing room only around the fence. I mean, it was kind of like it was 20, 30, 40 years ago. You know, we made a decision not to stream it live, not to put it on TV. And like I said, the results were obvious. People had to come out if they wanted to see this matchup. And early on, it looked like it wasn't going to be much of a matchup. They took it to us. We made a lot of mistakes and got down two touchdowns. And, you know, the results of the game were we kind of got ourselves together a little bit, calmed down a little bit. You know, the atmosphere was definitely unique. Hadn't seen a regular season game like that in quite some time. And then, like I said, once we got everybody on the same page, it turned into a really good ball game.
Well, first of all, and want you to speak to that, but those I've seen that for the last 3 years. If you haven't seen them, what they're doing on offense is really good stuff, right? So I don't know. It looked like it. I don't know if that first drive was scripted, but until you see it, I don't think you really know how well oiled of a machine that is. Plus, they've got some players. But talk about that, Coach. They get the opening kickoff, I don't know, 10 plays, 12 plays, 80 yards. They take it down and score, and it was pretty dang crisp, wasn't it?
Yeah, they did a really good job. You know, like I said, it was a classic example of two heavyweights kind of filling each other out early on. And, you know, to their credit, I think they showed up to play a little earlier than we did, mistake-free. You know, I thought that was a compliment not just to their coaches but also their players. Handled the moment well, especially on the road. You know, it was a hostile environment, and they took the crowd out of it. I thought that was big. They took the crowd out of the game for about three quarters. But I think the quarterback's a three-year starter, so that definitely helps when your quarterback's been in the system for 3 years, smooth operator, got him in and out of bad plays, made some plays with his feet, not just his arm. You know, I think going into the game, he had more touchdowns than he did incompletions for the year. Just got off, you know, playing powerhouse out of Arkansas and beating them by five touchdowns. So we definitely knew we had our hands full, knew it was going to be a tough matchup. And like I said, one day less preparation, but at the same time, it made for a great regular season game. You know, you can play those games, especially on a moment's notice when you know that, you know, it's not a region game. At the end of the day, it's just two proud programs wanting to play each other. And, you know, let's play it out for four quarters or longer, and let's see where the chips fall where they may.
Yep. Well, I commend both you and Coach Dilfer. That was for high school football fans, you gave them what they wanted. It was a great game. Hey, so many plays of the game. You can't say a play of the game, but so they go down and they score. Really looked really good. And then the opening kickoff, I mean, the return, the following kickoff didn't go the Patriots' way. Turn it over. They get it. They end up on the 1 yard line, fourth and one. Don't get it. Goal line stand by your defense. Unbelievable job and effort by them bowing their back. But talk about how big that was, because it could have been 14-0 early. Might have been a different game.
Absolutely. You know, and I thought that was huge. You know, we had a guy that's been starting for us for 3 years, just totally muffed to kick off. Just basically gave him great field position. But, you know, at the end of the day, you know, he didn't keep his head down long, and the defense didn't feel sorry for themselves. They knew they had to hold them for four plays, and they did it. You know, I think there were all kinds of huge plays and things that changed the game. One of those was definitely the fourth down right there on the one-yard line. You know, our defense stopping them. Turns out, you know, three quarters later, we have a similar situation. It's basically 3 seconds left, and our defense stops them right there on the one-yard line again. So defense made some huge plays. And Eric Taylor, he's a young guy for us that plays a lot and made some huge plays, made the stop right there at the end. But, you know, A.J. Bullard, the play before, right before the game ended, their quarterback just, again, took off on his feet and was headed right to the goal line, and A.J. stopped him at the one-yard line to allow us to stop him one more time at the three-yard line or with 3 seconds left. So, yeah, there was a lot of huge defensive plays. But in a ball game like this, you got to think, how's this thing going to turn? And a lot of times it's, you know, turnovers, and we were definitely losing the turnover battle early. You know, Jordan James went all 15 games last year without a fumble, fumbled one time in a championship game. So his fumble was very uncharacteristic. Antonio Patterson's fumble was very uncharacteristic. So it was definitely a game that you knew it could change on a moment's notice. We went in at halftime down 14-7. It could have been much worse. But again, our defense caused a fumble. You know, their quarterback had his first turnover of the season. You know, that's a pretty good stat for a quarterback. He's played five games and didn't even have a single interception or fumble. And not only did he fumble it, but we scooped and scored it. Corey Smith returned it for a touchdown. So that kind of gave us some momentum. And then in the second half, Jordan James took one to the house on about 65 yards to kind of give us some momentum. And like I said, it was just tons of big plays, special teams, defense, offense. All three of them were huge in our victory. And like I said, it could have gone either way because of the kick game, because of offense, because of defense. There was just a lot of big plays made in that game by a lot of different players.
Yeah, you talked about that last play at the end of the game. Eric Taylor, he came off that edge. Man, you've obviously practiced that, I think, but he did his responsibility textbook. He came right off the edge, right down the line. He looked like he was shot out of a cannon. Question, you all called timeout right before that. So what did your defensive coordinator and you, Coach Jackson, did y'all call timeout and then call that?
Yeah, well, it was one of those deals where, you know, we kind of wanted to see what they might line up in. We had all of our timeouts, so we were willing to spend all three of them. Sometimes you can kind of call a play and see if they're going to come out in a similar formation that you think. And sometimes if you call all three timeouts, they may be on their fourth best, you know, red zone play or their fourth best two-point conversion play. So a couple times we used timeouts just to kind of get a feel of maybe what they were thinking. And, you know, here's the thing. And, you know, we got a lot of coaches that can attest to this. We got some best assistant coaches around. There was never, like, any kind of freaking out on the sideline. Even when we're down two touchdowns, you know, we'd been there before. We'd been in big ball games before. And everybody was calm. We just had to make sure that our players were calm. That situation, it was like a conversation. Me and Coach Jackson, Steven Jackson, the D.C., I was like, well, we got another timeout. You want to use it? He's like, nah. They came out what I was expecting. He's like, Eric Taylor's fixed to make his tackle for a loss, and this game's going to be over. I mean, he said it just as calm, like we were talking over coffee or something. Wow. And he called it. And, you know, like I said, it worked out just like he said. And props to Eric Taylor for making the play. And, you know, like I said, props to Coach Jackson for having a lot of confidence and faith in him.
Yeah, very cool, Coach. That's a great story. And you don't win as many games as you all have at the level you are without having a great staff. And you mentioned Coach Jackson. I think, for me, two stories of the night. One, that you defensively, you all held them to 7 points in the second half. That hasn't been done, and my guess is it won't be done again. And then, you know, I think – I know you all have talked about it, but you all lost some really good players on the offensive line last year, and you've got some new starters there this year. And then to turn around and, you know, to be able to win that game running the ball, right? That's how you did it. I think your offensive line did a fantastic job. Keep plugging at it. We know Jordan's going to break one, and your O-line coach, David Watson, and your tight ends and H-backs coach, Jason Dobbs, man. You got a heck of a staff, brother.
Yep. You know, there's two former head coaches, Coach Dobbs, Coach Watson. It's always good to have a guy on your staff that can say, I know what you mean, or I know how you feel, or I know what you're thinking, because they've been in a head coaching position before, and they actually mean it. You know, some people can say it, but these guys actually mean it. They've been a head coach before, and they've, you know, like I said, they've gone from coaching 100 players or 50 players to coming over and, you know, just coaching 10 or 12, or, you know, Coach Dobbs coaching 4 or 5 H-backs and tight ends. But, yeah, last year we had a heck of an offensive line. One's playing at UNLV, one's at MTSU, one's at Cumberland, and then one is Tennessee Tech. And so that takes a lot to replace those guys. But, again, you know, Coach Dobbs, Coach Watson, they do a great job. I got Coach Sharsh, used to be a head coach. Coach Connor does my receivers. Coach Corbett over on the defensive side. Coach Bryson, one of the best up-and-coming coaches around. Coach Anderson does my special teams. Had a huge field goal block. You know, we always thought it was going to be important to make them either kick field goals or punt, something they usually don't have to do. And Coach Anderson, you know, allowed us to get in there and scheme up a good block on the field goal, which almost was returned for a touchdown. And then a guy that's like an unsung hero around here is Vladimir Bornbosan, kicked in college, and he's been our kicking coach for years now, and he's hit three guys up for Mr. Football as far as kickers go. And our kickers did a heck of a job again Thursday night.
No doubt about it. And I think the tackling that you all did, you mentioned Richardson, their quarterback, he went 27 for 32. You know, I mean, he played well. So your defense, I thought really, really good. You all always do. You flew around to the ball, but the tackling, man, I thought y'all tackled really well.
Well, you know, their quarterback, he's such an efficient guy. You know, there's not going to be a lot of negative plays. And, you know, our defense usually strives on making some negative plays, but, you know, he creates things with his feet. You know, he's a real smart kid, but he's also a big guy. So, you know, we've got some smaller guys on defense, and we want to make sure that we weren't getting trucked by the quarterback. We weren't getting stiff-armed by the quarterback, because we'd seen it on film time and time again. And then, of course, the running back, you know, committed to Boston College, shifty, elusive, lateral speed is unbelievable. And so our guys did a good job of pursuing and trying to kind of box these guys in a little bit. But, again, it was it was one of those games for the ages, you know. It was kind of a chess match back and forth, and I think we got to give a lot of credit to Coach Dilfer and his staff. I thought they did a good job getting ready for us and coming on the road. And, you know, like I said, they offered up to come to our place and play a game. And, you know, that doesn't always happen our way.
Yeah, very cool. All right, hey, everybody who was there wants to know, man. So you're down 21-14. Y'all score, it's 21-20. You go for two. What was that? Was that the third quarter or was that in the fourth?
Yeah, that was the fourth quarter. I think there was like 6 minutes to go.
Was there ever any doubt? Were you guys on the staff, come on, coach, kick it? Or when did we – walk us through the two-point conversion.
Yeah, you know, sometimes there's a lot of chattering on the headsets. When something like that goes on, you can actually hear a pin drop. So – there wasn't a lot of talking going on, but at halftime, we'd already told them that it's exactly like we told them all week. It was going to come down to one possession. Somebody was going to probably win by a point or a touchdown. We said one score. We also said it may go to overtime. And then, of course, we said if we do come back from behind and it's close, we're going for two. So, you know, we addressed all those things at halftime. So whenever we, you know, decided to go for two, There wasn't no hesitation by the coaching staff, and there wasn't any hesitation by the players. You know, a lot of times you'll see a guy run on with a tee or the long snapper come out and try to get ready for an extra point. Everybody knew we were going for two. And then, of course, you know, the play call was just the play call. It still had to be executed. And I thought on that particular play, we had a young sophomore that made a big block. Tajio Knox took a guy with all kinds of college offers and put him in the back of the end zone. And then, of course, Jordan James, who everybody probably thought was getting the ball, he was the lead blocker and had the key block that sprung our guy to the pylon. So, you know, that's the thing about it. Jordan James, he does just as much when he doesn't have the ball in his hands as he does when he does have the ball in his hands. So that just, you know, that's just kind of speaks to his character and what kind of teammate he is. You know, he gets a lot of praise for, you know, carrying the ball, but he's a heck of a teammate. And that, because of that, he gets a lot of his teammates' respect.
He's a leader, brother. Hey, Coach, this has been great. I appreciate you joining us. Congratulations. You know, everything about it was great. It was a great game. It was a great atmosphere. The field looked great. It was really cool. And, again, I really respect you and Coach Dilfer for playing that game. That was awesome.
Well, it, like I said, it was back to 20, 30, 40 years ago when everybody had to come to the game. So it was a great atmosphere. People were fired up. Both teams didn't disappoint. You know, it actually lived up to the hype. So it doesn't always do that, but we were proud to be part of it.
Well, good luck against Blackman next week. Have a great weekend. We'll talk soon. We'll talk later on in the season for sure, brother.
Sounds good. Thanks, Tate.
Coach Kevin Creasy, the Oakland Patriots, again, 29-21 victory over Lipscomb on Thursday night. Great game. You're in Nashville. The diner is your huddle point. You're south of Nashville. Get to Sportsman's Grill in the heart of Cool Springs. Get off Moore's Lane. Look for the log cabin with the Christmas lights. You'll know you're in the right place. $6 daily happy hour specials, nachos, potato skins, cheese beans. And then they've got the best dinner menu anywhere in the area. Meatloaf, ribs, catfish, steaks, fried oysters. Where else can you get all that? Get in there and ask for my man, Blackjack Brad, Sportsman's Grill. Never disappoints. We'll be right back. Coach Brian Coleman, Summit Spartan Football, right here on High School Sports Saturday, 104.5 The Zone. Welcome back to High School Sports Saturday. Walker Chevrolet, they don't call them Chevy Central for nothing. Been in business since 1926 doing the same thing, selling Chevrolets, working on Chevrolets. And they're doing that today. Best inventory anywhere in the mid-state of Chevrolets. They've also got an award-winning service department, but most importantly, they're the official sponsor of the Williamson County Sports Conference. And with that, we've got Coach Brian Coleman, Summit Spartan Football. Coach Coleman, good morning.
Morning, Tater. How you doing, buddy?
Doing great, my man. Congratulations. Big win last night, 39-7 over Beach. I know you have the utmost respect for the Beach football program, Coach Crabtree. So many times you all have played in the playoffs, and really whoever won that was probably really good chance to go to Cookeville. So all that being said, it was a great win last night. And I know more than anybody, you know, to put 39 points on a Beach team and hold them to 7, this team played really well last night. It's playing at a high level.
Yes, sir. Yeah, Coach Crabtree, great man, great coach, great program over there. You know, his boys play hard. Yeah, it was a great win for us. Little tight in the beginning. They had a great game plan going in. Took us a while to get going offensively. The defense played really, really good. Coach Taylor really has them playing at a high level right now. So, like you said, yeah, it's great to come out of there with a win like that for sure against a quality football team.
Yeah, talk about that. You know, 7-0 early, right? 7-7 early, and then you get to the second quarter, start to pick it up a little bit more. But the second and third quarter is really where the offense got going. But I'm assuming a big part of that was Beach was doing what they were supposed to on defense.
Yeah, they did really good. Right before half, I think it was about a minute to go. We scored. Run a little 2-minute drill there through a good pass to Brady. For a touchdown, and then John Randall Dipple got a big interception right before half, and we had like 20 seconds or something like that, and probably about the 30-yard line, and actually got another score where Keaton was in there at running back and kind of blocking a little bit and then kind of leaked out of the backfield, and Destin hit him, and he turned that into another touchdown. So that was a big shot in the arm right before halftime, got our guys up, and came out of the second half and played a little bit better for sure.
Well, let's talk about your quarterback. Running quarterback, passing quarterback, dual threat quarterback. 6 for 10 passing, 155 yards, 4 touchdowns. Sounds like a passing quarterback to me.
Yeah, he's really worked on his skills. He's doing a good job for us protecting the football. I mean, he's just a football player, man. He's a great kid. Mr. Football candidate last year. I just hope that, a lot of the times we're going to, a few games before, he's only played a half or he's only played three quarters. And sometimes, he doesn't get the stats that, I don't know, that he deserves or that he could possibly get, if we're trying to run the score up or trying to chase stats, stuff like that. But we're not into that. We're trying to keep him healthy. If we got the win secured, then we're going to get him out of there and, we're going to get other kids some reps. So, I just want people to know the hope or just hope that that don't hurt him, at the end of the year. But I mean, these stats are, he's only played a couple full games. That's really, really good. If you combine the quarters that he's played for sure.
Yeah. I think it did hurt him last year, but I don't think it'll hurt him this year. I think they all know. 4 passing touchdowns. I really don't. 4 passing touchdowns this year. I mean, last night, 3 of those to Brady Pierce. The kid just makes plays, man. Brady Pierce is a football player.
The kid makes plays. I mean, not flashy if you look at him, but every team knows who he is. Every team knows where he's at. Every team respects him after the game. If you come watch the game, you know exactly who it is when he's playing. I mean, Destin finds him. He gets open. He makes tough catches. He's a safety. He comes up and delivers hits. He gets the defense right. I mean, like you said, like I've always told people, he is a football player. He understands the game. I mean, we played Brentwood weeks ago, and they're at the goal line, and they're doing a gator chomp. Well, he's in his head thinking gators. Okay, Tim Tebow. Okay, now they're going to try a Tim Tebow pass. All that's processed in his head, and he picks
it up. Hey, coach, tell him what happened, though.
Well, yeah.
He said the Tebow pass is coming. What did he do?
He picked it off, and 30 yards the other way. I mean, that's a high school kid processing that in his head, and all the screaming. Got a lot of stuff going on, and heck, he's putting all these things together, and was right there to intercept the pass. So, a lot of adults, a lot of coaches can't process that stuff that fast. So, just a great young man too. So, you got to root for kids like that just try hard and give you everything they got.
Here's the other thing I like. We all go home, or I do. I tape all 4 of the news channels, and I go back and watch the highlights every Friday night when we get home. And every week you see Destin making some Tecmo Bowl-type run. I mean, that's the best way to describe it. And so last night, 12 rushes, 116 yards, and another touchdown. But Brady Pierce, who you mentioned, Brandon King, his brother, Keaton Wade, he's a heck of an athlete making an unbelievable run, but that means there is downfield blocking going on. Brandon King, Brady Pierce, his brother, all those guys, man. You got a team that loves each other when they're doing that.
Oh, you're exactly right. They're unselfish. I mean, yes. I mean, anytime any football team gets a long run, you've got blocking downfield. You know what I mean? I mean, there's no way around it. Somebody's making a big block 20 yards downfield, 30 yards downfield in order to spring them the rest of the way to break that second level. And Brandon King, Brady, they're keeping blocking downfield. We got Tanner Shake at tight end. He's sprinting downfield. Heck, we got offensive linemen. One of the highlights a couple games ago was Cooper Cook. He's sprinting downfield. Our guard, 30 yards, he kind of got in the corner's way, but the corner got out of the way. You know what I mean? It wasn't beautiful blocking, but he got that corner to get out of his way, which gives Destin plenty enough time to or plenty enough room to make a move to get in the end zone. So, it's a team, man. I mean, they love each other. They're family. And anytime you have a good team, a successful football program, these kids got to love each other. They got to be unselfish. They got to not care who's running the ball. They got to, and that's typical old lineman mentality. I mean, no, they're not flashy, but heck, at the end of the game, people say, oh man, that O-line plays good. I mean, that's the best thing that you can hear people say to really, I guess, you know, single out an offensive line. Because not a, people, a lot of people look at that or see that, but if these guys are really running downfield or you know, kick out blocks on the edge, stuff like that, so that's a huge compliment to our football team.
Oh, no doubt. And they're a great group. They're a unit, a little bit nasty, maybe sometimes a lot nasty. No, they're I know one guy that loves them, and that's number one. Hey, let's talk about next week. Another big one, man. The Ravenwood Raptors are coming to Summit. MyTV 30's coming to Summit. WCS Game Day's coming to Summit. It's going to be a big night. And if you like exciting quarterbacks, you got Destin Wade and Chris Parsons, I'd say this is where you need to be next week.
Yeah, it's going to be huge. It's a huge game. I mean, we come into this 6A region and thank goodness, you know, we've kind of been successful so far, and so now you get to play Ravenwood. You know, this you know, tops of the region have been for a long time. Coach Hester's there. He does, you know, he's a great man. He does a great job with those kids. Parsons, a great quarterback, dual threat, throw the ball well. He's really, really athletic, running the ball. They've got a nasty offensive line. They've got a great defense. So it's going to be a great game. And thank goodness we get to host it. So we'll be at home. You know, our student sections are, you know, unmatched in Williamson County, I believe. And I'm a little partial to our Summit squad, you know, and we've got game day. Heck, we've got Tate Matthews. We've got Darren Joins. We've got maybe even Coach Qualls going to be there to, you know, try to fire up. You know, he's going to show up. You know, it's going to be a really exciting time. So, you know, we're happy to host it. We're happy for our community. You know, I hope they show up and get loud and support these young men.
Yep. And another nice thing about it, there's going to be a lot of $9 tickets sold.
That's what Coach Kirby's thinking, isn't it?
And Mrs. Lamb.
All right.
Give us, I know you haven't had time to break it down yet, but everybody knows you've already snuck a little peek at them maybe earlier in the last 2 weeks. But give us the early scouting report. And, hey, man, for the first time, you know, this is a region game. This is for the, you know, whoever takes this is in the driver's seat. They don't clinch it, but they're in the driver's seat for Region 7-6A.
That's true, yeah, with both of us still having to play Indians, a good football team, you know, but – both of us already getting past Brentwood and some really good teams. It's definitely put you in the driver's seat. They're a good team. I mean, the quarterback, any running quarterback puts your defense in a bind because you have to defend the run and the pass. Just, okay, so he's going to drop back. Okay, then you got to stay in your pass rush lanes. If not, then they're going to take off for 20, 30 yards. Like I said, the offensive line is nasty. They play really, really well. They've got a guard that's really, really – that's pretty tough. He's good and skilled guys everywhere, and I think they're finally healthy. You know, they got their corners back that they didn't have. They didn't have their two corners early when they played NBA. They got their middle linebacker back. That number two, their middle linebacker is really, really good. He sideline to sideline, high motor guy. So, you know, it's going to be a huge challenge for us. I'm just spouting this off. Not that I've watched any film on them yet. So, this is just a gift.
It's what you've been told.
That's right.
Hey, man, congratulations. Friday night is going to be electric. Can't wait. Proud of you and your team. We'll talk soon, man.
Thank you, Tater. Appreciate you, man.
You too, brother. That's Coach Brian Coleman, Summit Spartans, 6-0. Spartans and Raptors next week. Going to be great. The Gateway Tire Athletes of the Week this week are Dylan Sulcer of Brentwood Jr. and Kennedy Pendergrass Sr. Fairview. Dylan tallied 219 assists, 57 digs, 41 kills, and 16 aces last week in series sweeps versus Centennial and Franklin, and also while leading the Lady Bruins to the Border Battle team title in that tournament. Kennedy Pendergrass threw for 297 yards on 14 of 22 passes with 5 touchdowns in a 41-6 victory over Cheatham County last week. They are the Gateway Tire Athletes of the Week. Gateway Tire Franklin, proud home of the Yokohama Tire anything automotive but bodywork, get in there and see Garth and the boys, Gateway Tire. We'll be right back for the Villain Zone, Tom Kreger of the Tennessean, right here on High School Sports Saturday, 104.5 The Zone. Welcome back to High School Sports Saturday. It's the time of the hour. We welcome our good buddy Tom Kreger of the Tennessean, always brought to you by Warner's Athletic Construction. They've been serving Middle Tennessee and the Southeast since 1998, providing athletic field construction and renovation. When we're talking about turf, been telling you about the Webb School renovation, new turf they've been doing, but also they do smaller jobs. They just did the turf at the indoor at Oakland High School. Saw it Thursday night. Beautiful. If you're in need of any turf needs, reach out to Warner's Athletic at warnersathletic.com. Tom, week six, man, we've had some great weeks, but I don't know, man. Week six might have had the best games overall. Man, week six did not disappoint, did it?
Yeah, I think, probably best game that we could ever think of. On Thursday night with Oakland 29-21 over Lipscomb Academy, great environment, great game, lived up to all the hype. And then, of course, we had some great games last night, some closer games that I didn't really think that maybe some of these games would have been that close.
No doubt about it. Hey, let's start with the one. Don't get me wrong, it's a upset, but I don't think it's as big as an upset as everybody else did. But nonetheless, Tullahoma 24, Pearl Cone 21. I mean, golly, that opened some eyes, didn't it?
Yeah, we had Joe Spears down there last night covering that game. It was a great game. Tullahoma got up like 21-0 or something like that, and yes. Pearl Cone came storming back. A great game there. Barry and Brown showed why he's a 4-star prospect. Didn't do a lot of receiving, but he took a lot of snaps, ran for a lot of yards. But they made a big, Tullahoma made a big play down the stretch, recovered a fumble. And big upset, because that puts Tullahoma in the driver's seat for the region. And game was played down at Tullahoma, so I think a lot of people didn't get a lot of media attention there, because some people think that's a long haul out of Nashville. But said we were there, and Barry Brown, man, he's doing so much, but I know late in the game he's starting to cramp up, so that's probably an area of concern there for Pearl Cone. Is like, all right, this is a kid that has to play just about every snap for them right now in big games, and they're going to have to figure out a way to get him some rest.
Oh yeah. Well, they were driving late. Tullahoma, I believe, stripped the quarterback and recovered the fumble to run out the clock. So yeah, they were in it driving to maybe get the win, but I mean, just a great win, man. And we talked so many about the other quarterbacks. You mentioned there, Tullahoma's kind of, it's a little bit, It's a haul from Nashville, but I think it's time for those that didn't. Ryan Scott, their quarterback, he's in the conversation. That guy, anytime he's pulling the trigger, you got a chance to win.
Yeah, I mean, he didn't throw for a lot of yards last night, but I mean, he's second. I believe he's a second year starter. He does, he's not making a lot of mistakes for them. He can run the ball when he needs to. He can throw the ball. He does a good job of just running the offense and doing what they needed to do and just protecting it, I've seen him now for 2 years, and I was impressed last year with him, and I saw him week one against Shelbyville, and I've seen his stuff this year, and he's had a great year.
Hey, the game you were at last night, kind of weird, not a must win for job security, obviously, but I think it was a must win for both Montgomery Bell Academy and Brentwood Academy for their season. Montgomery Bell Academy, 21-0 shutout victory over Brentwood Academy. That was a big win. And that for those that were kind of bagging on the NBA defense earlier on in the season, don't worry about it. They know what they're doing. Really good performance by the Big Red defense last night. Held Brentwood Academy to 59 rushing yards.
Yeah, and I think around 153 or so total yards for the game, I think, somewhere around there. Chris Chauvin had a great plan. This is a retooled offensive line from, talking to Marty Uverard last night. Their center went down for an injury, so they moved their right guard over to center, and they moved in Gabe Fisher, a state wrestling champion, And I say that because following up because of this is they moved him from, you know, over to right guard. He's also playing on defense, playing both ways. And, you know, talking to Rhett Hales, the running back there who ran for 206 yards last night, he's like, man, I mean, they ran behind Fisher a lot. I think he said that Fisher told me he had 7 pancakes last night, and big win, big shutout, first shutout since 2007. The first shutout that first time NBA has shut out BA since the 2007 Division II AA state championship game. So big win there for the Big Red. Now it's a big rivalry game. It's a big win for momentum, but from a region standpoint, this game did nothing. I mean, Brentwood Academy's in the West this year. NBA is in the East Middle. So it did nothing for getting in the playoffs. But I think here's what it did, though. It gets NBA back-to-back wins, Father Ryan and NBA in back-to-back weeks. And now next week you host JP2, who is a region game. It gives them more momentum going into what should be a huge game and pits, you know, Marcel Reed versus Kenny Minchie, two of the top junior quarterbacks in the mid-state area.
Let's talk about week 7. We got two huge games. We talked to Coach Coleman a little bit about the Ravenwood game. That one's going to be unbelievable. Before that, though, Mount Juliet at Station Camp. Both of them are undefeated. I think a lot of us expected Mount Juliet to be undefeated at this point. But what Brent Alexander's done at Station Camp, wow. And those two play next week on Thursday, so you'll be able to go to both of them. Battle of Undefeateds, it's a region game. Man, this is going to be big.
Yes, you're right. This is a huge, huge, huge game. Brent Alexander, you mentioned him. I mean, we had our midseason report this past week. You know, for Joe Spears, that was his coach of the year for the midway point. I can't disagree there. I went with Rock Batten just to give a different name in there after he picked Brent. But Alexander's done a great job there at Station Camp. I didn't see them being 6-0 or 5-0 at this point. I'll be honest with you. But, you know, big, big opportunity against a Mount Juliet team that kind of struggled a little bit to beat Wilson Central 14-7 last night. So it's going to be an interesting game there. Again, it's a Thursday night game. These Thursday night games, they tend to give us sports writers maybe long weekends, but they're great to see an extra game over the week.
Oh, yeah, I love it. You know, you get to go see Oakland Lipscomb. And hey, real quick, we got about 30, 45 seconds left. I don't think this has gotten enough play. I got it from you. Kevin Creasy, 51-0 at Ray Hughes Stadium.
Yeah. So you want to talk about home field advantage. I mean, that's it says something about how they're protecting their home field and the how they play on their home field. That's 51 straight games that's been played on natural grass, and now it's being played on turf. I mean, I think that's the Warner Project, too, by the way. But, you know, they're doing a great job there. They find ways to win. It was a great environment there. And, you know, Kevin Creasy, he wins. I mean, he hasn't lost very many games, period. But to never lose at Ray Hughes Stadium, I don't know. I think he needs to talk to his principal, Don Marshall. Maybe he can get a little bonus for that.
No doubt. He's got the highest winning percentage for any head coach of over 100 wins, so, and it's not even close, really. So, hey, Tom, as always, you never disappoint, brother. We'll talk to you next Saturday. They can find you on Twitter, at Kreger, at Tennessean. Have a great weekend, brother.
We'll see you, man.
That's Tom Kreger, the villain. That's it for today. Thanks to Coach Kevin Creasy, Coach Brian Coleman, Tom Kreger, you. Up next, the Varsity with the Coach. Forklift Systems Football Saturday.